I would like to actually use the remaining time, well, 20 minutes at the most, to actually follow the thought that David brought up in closing the last session. And that is in line with this matter of a normal life, but a different life that we should live, which is a walk according, a worthy walk according to the Lord's calling of us unto his purpose, unto his glory. There are some verses that comes to mind here. Let me just talk a little bit about it. The first one I would like to use is actually 1 Timothy 2:2. Now here, Paul was exhorting Timothy and by extension, the Ephesians, to first of all give themselves to prayer, to pray on behalf of all men, and then on behalf of kings and all those in high positions. Now here is the point, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our Savior God. Why did Paul charge believers to pray for those in position, you know, the kings and so on? This is so that we, the believers, we, the church people, can lead a quiet and tranquil life. Quiet, I like this, quiet and tranquil life, according to this footnote here, is peaceable, peaceful, yeah? Still, S-T-I-L-L, not commotional, right? Not tumultuous, not always stirred up and dramatic and all of this. No, peaceable, still, and even without disturbance. I like this. Without disturbance. You know, today the whole world is to constantly disturb you. You know, all this disruptions and all these things, we're constantly disturbed. And even these the phones that we have and the internet, it's a constant disturbance of otherwise what could have been a quiet and tranquil life. And so we have to resist and even reject these things, brothers. Am I right? Not only outwardly in our circumstances, you know, so there'll be no war and there's no disasters and so on, but inwardly in our spirit and heart. This kind of a life in tranquility and quietness, enables us to have an enjoyable church life in godliness and gravity. Godliness is simply to express God, to live Christ, which is the Christian life. And gravity, you know, is a life, a quality of the human existence that is dignified and worthy of reverence and towards man. And so to live this kind of a life, the church life, we need to have a quiet and tranquil existence or living. Well, brothers and sisters, I like to tell you, life itself is disturbance enough, okay? Just a regular life. There are its dramas, there its disturbances, there are its interruptions, and there are the storms. Just life. We don't need more drama. You know, don't follow the Hollywood movies or Netflix, whatever. You know, everything is dramatic. Everything is theater. Everything is, you know. No. How about we just live a quiet and tranquil life in godliness and gravity? Just to live Christ, express the Lord. Am I right? And of course, this is good and acceptable in the Savior, a sight of our Savior God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. This is the second prayer we should pray for, not just those in authority, but all men, men's salvation, and the believers coming to the full knowledge of the truth. These are things we should pray for, and these are the things we should be doing in the church life to help people to be saved, to help them to know the truth, to know the Lord, to grow in life, etc., etc. This is acceptable in the sight of our Savior God. That's why I say, don't join that rat race. Don't live a life that is constantly disturbed. Even pray. You know, it says in the so-called Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, deliver us from evil. I always think evil is the devil jumping around. No, I tell you, disturbance is evil. Anxiety, Brother Lee say, the source of anxiety is the devil. If you live in constant anxiety of this and that, with no tranquility and peace, you can hardly live a proper Christian life. And not to mention you go and seek in untranquility. You know, today everything is extreme, extreme sports, extreme this and extreme that. Do we need that, brothers and sisters? Do we really need that? We need to spend our time to what? For God's interest. So I just mentioned that. Then, of course, what David referred to in 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul was beginning to talk a lot to those who are making money, those who are wealthy. And here he says, quoting a kind of almost stoic, you know, there's things called a stoicism, you know, people in the face of in suffering and adversity, they find a way to what? To be sufficient, to be okay, you know, kind of a stoic, you know, to endure unpleasant times. So here he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So this word contentment means you're contented, you are sufficient, you're good. As opposed to number one, you are in deep lack, you're in great shortage, or you are filled with desire and longing and greediness for a lot of material things. Neither. You know, someone say the place of blessing, the happy place, is neither deep deprivation or great wealth. It's in the middle. I kind of like that. God is not here to make us always in deprivation and poverty. Neither is he wanting us to live in enormous wealth and all of that luxury. He just wants us to be here. What is here? Here is just simple, normal, tranquil, peaceful, contented. You know, this word is and means an inward self-sufficiency. And the other place where Paul mentioned this, referring to himself, is actually as you may remember, in Philippians chapter 4, where he said this, you know, whether the Philippians were offering or giving, you know, support to Paul, right? Sometimes not, sometimes they blossom again in this matter. He said, Paul said, not that I speak according to lack, for I have learned in whatever circumstances I am to be content. That's the same concept there. To be self-sufficient. To be satisfied. Brothers, if you live in a life always unsatisfied, always I need more, always it's unfair, always it's, you are driven constantly to acquire more, to do more, and so you need to make more money, you need to do this and that, and always uncontented, discontented. That's not self-sufficient. So with the outward circumstances that we are in, learn to be contented and not unhappy and blaming and complaining and murmuring, but be content in our circumstances, right? Okay, I think this is good enough. You know, right after in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, I come back to that that chapter. Paul continued, but having food and covering, you know, this is not just clothing, but even dwelling, with these we will be content. How about that? Sufficient. Good. I'm content. Then he start talking about the rich falling into temptation and snare and have many foolish and harmful desires, plunging men into destruction and ruin. For the love of money is a root of all evils, because of which some aspiring after money have been led away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many pains. Isn't this a good description of still today's situation? Brothers and sisters, let's live that simple life. Not adorned with all these things. If anything, adorned with the beauty of Christ, right? We live a life not greedy, not anxious, not covetous. We're just happy and thankful to the Lord for what he has given to us. And we spend all our energy and heart to live godly unto his purpose. To do good, right? To do the good works. And so Paul talk about just lay hold on the life that is really life. So that is that. And there's another verse I think I thought about. I don't know where it is besides these two verses. Well, I think that is good enough. All that we can come up to end with this verse in Matthew 6:6. In Matthew 6:6 is a chapter where the Lord, in talking about the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens, he talk about the kingdom people's living. He talk about the living of the kingdom people, their deeds, their life, and even concerning material riches. You know, the Lord is very practical when he talk about kingdom, not just something so grand, so majestic and high. He talks about the kingdom people's living, how they should live, how they handle riches, how they should be, live by faith, and so on. So in this chapter, he spent quite a lot, you know, in talking about not serving God and mammon and so on. And then he talked about don't be anxious. I don't know how many times he used this word. Do not be anxious. Who among you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to your stature? Why are you anxious concerning clothing? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we be clothed? For all these things, the Gentiles, again, not to be like the Gentiles, are anxiously seeking for. Without anxiety, this world will stop turning, all right? It is human anxiety that is fueling, you know, that is motivating people to do this and do that and so forth. They're constantly anxious about something. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. How about that? 33, and this is the verse that we all are familiar with. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And we all know this famous verse here. But it is good to muse on it and consider it again and again. If we see the Father's kingdom, which is the church life. The church life is the Father's kingdom today. All right? The reality of the church life today is the kingdom. So to seek the kingdom is to be in the church life. If we seek that and his righteousness, what is the Father's righteousness? That's simply Christ. To pursue Christ, to gain Christ, to have Christ, the righteousness that is Christ. If we seek these two things, Christ and the church, not only will these things be given to us because we seek them, but listen to this, all that we need in our physical life, all that we need in our human life will be added to them. And Brother Lee said somewhere that the Lord, the Father, takes care of us, all of his children, even our physical living and all our physical needs. He will see to it that we're taken care of. So there's no need to be in constant anxiety, like how the world is being driven all the time. Paul was anxious, but his anxiety was not for those things. He said, the anxiety of the churches, right? That is a different matter. But I like to just follow, you know, David's little reference to Timothy 6:6, that today, brothers and sisters, we are a different people living a different life with a different purpose and a different meaning. Let's agree with that. Let's determine that, and let's just live our life in that way. We are ordinary people, but we are uncommon people. We live for something not of this earth, but something in the heavens, in something of God. All right, I think this is really quite good enough for my burden to all of us. I think it will be good, even after we dismiss, that you take a little time yourself while the word is still with you to be with the Lord a little bit.
Amen.
Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever time after we're dismissed here to just be with the Lord with this word. Amen.